Before we turn to God's Word this evening, I just wanted to give a little bit of an introduction to myself, to those who do not know me. My name is Chris, as has been mentioned by Randall. I grew up in this congregation, and you have been supporting me for many years in my work with Reformed University Fellowship, but in many more ways, you have supported me throughout my entire life. I have been incredibly blessed by this congregation, and it's really sweet to look out on the faces in this congregation and think of the ways that God has blessed me through you. It's a unique privilege for me to stand in this pulpit, a pulpit from which I've heard, looking back on the years that I was here, well over 1,000 sermons preached, sermons that many of which I do not remember the main point, or the passage, or the catchy illustration, but I do remember being brought to Jesus. I remember being fed from the Word and being taught of my own need for Jesus Christ, and it is a real blessing for me to come this evening, and I hope and it is my prayer that the Spirit would use me as His messenger to open up the Word, that you would be brought to Jesus. Let's go this morning, or this evening, and read from Psalm chapter 1. This is on page 448 in your pew Bibles. This is the Word of the Lord. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our Lord stands forever. Let us go to him in prayer as we look at his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for speaking to us, that you have not remained silent in our world of woe, in our lives of sin, that you have spoken to us good news, the news of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that as we look at your word this evening, that we would see more of Jesus, and that we would grow in faith and love. Thank you for the work that you're doing in your Spirit, in your people. It is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. What do you delight in? There are many things that we delight in, good things and bad things. One of the things that I have delighted in over the past couple of weeks that maybe you have seen is a very popular video of a young boy named Tariq. Tariq is a little boy who was interviewed on a playground in New York City. And while he was interviewed, he was holding in his hand a corn on the cob. And if you haven't seen him in his interview that was given, or the TikTok video that remixed his words into a song, Tariq loves corn. He delights in corn. At one point, he says that he cannot imagine a more beautiful thing. Corn is a good thing to delight in. There are many good things that we delight in. I hope that you delight in your family. I hope that you delight in your pets, in your work, in your hobbies. But there are also many things in life that we delight in that do not bring us life. I was drinking a latte the other day that had happened to be given to me for free. Someone didn't pick it up. And I love the taste of coffee, but it does not sit well with me. And the entire afternoon, I was feeling tired. My stomach was upset. It was not a life-giving delight. This evening, as we look at Psalm 1, we will see where true life-giving delight is found. The main thing that I hope we take away this evening is that delighting in Scripture will bring you everlasting life. Delighting in Scripture will bring you everlasting life. This chapter in the book of Psalms is important. It has an important place in Scripture. The book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible, made up of 150 psalms. And Psalm 1 sits here at the beginning of this long book in the Bible as a sort of introduction. An introduction into what the rest of the book, what the rest of the psalms will be about. And as you look at the first words, it tells us something about what this book is going to give us. It says, blessed is the man, dot, dot, dot. This psalm will tell us where blessing is found. But really, this is an introduction to how the book of Psalms will show us where blessing is found. And really, where the entire scriptures will give blessing to us. Now, before we go and we look at this psalm and see the ways in which blessing is found within, I think we need to step back and say, there are many ways we can misunderstand what it means to be blessed. The world that we live in thinks of blessing in very much terms of circumstance and feeling. Blessing means to be in the right relationship, or blessing means to have the right job, or blessing means to have the right house. Blessing is thought of in terms of how you feel based on the circumstances that are going on in your life. And that is not the kind of blessing that the Psalms are going to show us we can have. This book is about finding blessing in the midst of all sorts of different life circumstances. If you read through all 150 Psalms, you will see a lot of different life circumstances out of which they're being written, and a lot of different emotions and feelings that are being captured in these Psalms. Many of them are lament. Lament over the state of the world, or lament over the state of the own writer's heart. Lament over the failure of the people of God to remain faithful. Lament over the reality that evil people exist and seem to thrive. Well, in the midst of the Psalms, and they're telling us where there is blessing, we are in need of a reminder that blessing is not based off of our circumstances or our feelings. So what does it look like to actually find blessing if it is not based off of our circumstances or our feelings? Well, interestingly enough, the psalmist does not start with telling us where blessing is found. The psalmist tells us where blessing is not found. You can see that there's this description of those who walk with the wicked, who stand with sinners, or sitting with scoffers. And what the psalmist is doing is showing us that no matter what way you live, all aspects of your life, whether it's walking, sitting, standing, really it's an all-encompassing picture of what it means to live out life. Whatever you do, if you are turning your back on God and to scoff, to be wicked, to be a sinner, are different ways in which we can turn our back on God, to live outside of relationship with Him and the requirements that He has for being in relationship with Him, that no matter what way you do that, if you are doing that, if you are turning your back on God, you cannot find blessing, no matter how good the circumstances of your life are. And that's really important for us as we look at the book of Psalms and as we look at this psalm, because we often feel that tension, and the psalmists acknowledge that tension, that when we look at the life of those who have turned their backs on God, they often seem to be thriving. You may have questioned why your coworker who does not care for God often lives in a way that is contrary to God's word, why they are receiving a promotion over you, why they seem to have a happy marriage or kids that listen to them. Whatever circumstances in which you have felt that frustration at those who are wicked thriving, God's word is telling us that blessing cannot be found by turning your back on God, no matter how good it might seem on the surface. So instead, we must find where true blessing is. And the way of truly being blessed is to delight in the law of the Lord, to meditate on his law day and night. Now, I work with college students, and maybe you, as someone who's here in a Presbyterian Reformed church on a Sunday evening, values the law of God, but many in our world are confused by how an old book would have value that's worth delighting in. They hear law and they think of being pulled over for a speeding ticket or the rules that they need to follow in order to live at peace with the world around them. And they may even be frustrated by that. I often feel that frustration that the law of God seems to be just a list of things that we need to do. That is not what is meant by the law of God in these verses. The law of God is referring to the ways in which God has spoken to us. And that certainly includes rules, like the Ten Commandments. But it is much more than a list of things to do. God's word to us is more than just rules or a guidebook for living life. It is a way to find life, the only way to find life. Have you ever read a movie, or read a book, or watched a movie or a show, and really had something stick with you from that? My wife Kelsey and I this summer have been going through the Lord of the Rings trilogy again. We listened to the audiobooks, and as we finished a book, we watched the movies that are now 20 years old, and we really enjoyed that. But as we were doing that, I was reminded of a particular scene in the first movie, The Fellowship of the Ring, that has stuck with me. I saw The Fellowship of the Ring as an 8-year-old in the early 2000s, and as I sat in a movie theater, there's a particular scene that I won't spoil for those of you who may not have read the books or seen the movies, but one of the main characters in this group of the Fellowship dies, and there is an incredibly sad scene as the Fellowship is in great danger, and they're having to flee, but they're also dealing with the grief of this loss, and while the leader of the group is trying to get them moving because of this danger, one of the other characters says to give them a moment for pity's sake. There's this great melancholy music that's playing. And as a child, even as an 8-year-old, I felt great sadness in that moment. And I think it's because there was great truth in that line, that death, that loss, that sadness is something worth grieving over. That moment that captured something true about the way of the world has stuck with me. That's something that I've come back to, something that I even at times delight in, to even as it makes me feel sad. The scriptures are life-giving truth that we can delight in. When we delight in the story that scripture tells us, we find life. That we would come to the scriptures, that we would look at the story that God has revealed in his word, of how we can come into restored relationship with God, is one in which we should be finding great delight and be meditating on, coming back to, because it reveals what's really true. And it is something worth rejoicing in, even in the ways that is hard, maybe hard to understand or hard to apply in our lives, that there is great beauty in delighting in the scriptures. That result of delighting in the scriptures, of coming back again and again to the story that God's word tells us, that we are restored through God's movement towards us in Jesus, is life-giving. It's exactly where the psalmist goes as he pictures what it means to live as one who is blessed, who delights in the word of God. He points us to a tree that is thriving, a tree that is planted by waters where there's a source of abundant source of life that it can thrive in, that it can bear fruit in its season, that it can have leaves that do not wither. That picture of life-giving, of a life-giving tree, I think is meant to point us back to the beginning of the story of God's word, back to Genesis, to the creation of the world in which God puts man in a garden with a tree of life at the center. That tree of life that Adam and Eve are separated from when they sin. They are removed from life. They are removed from relationship with God. To be in the Word of God, to be delighting in, to be coming back to the story of God's redeeming love in Jesus is to be being restored to what we were created for in the garden, relationship with God. Relationship with God in which there is no death. That's pictured in this psalm as being told that the one who is blessed in this way will prosper in all things. Now again, we have to push back on the idea of what it means to prosper truly in this world. Prospering in the biblical terms is not accumulating stuff or having good circumstances in life. The kind of prospering that God is pointing us towards is one that abounds in all circumstances in life. Can't help but think of Philippians 4, having been there this morning. Not the verses that we covered, but the verses that come shortly thereafter in 12 through 13. Paul says this: I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When we are delighting in the Word of God, when we are finding blessing in the Word of God, we have life that goes through the ups and downs of the circumstances of our life. We can prosper even when times are hard. That is in sharp contrast to those who turn their backs on God, those who have rejected relationship with God, who have rejected the good news of the gospel. They have life that is fleeting and failing despite the circumstances. The image given is one of chaff blowing in the wind, which is probably not one that we see every day, although living in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, there's a lot of farming around, and so the imagery is a little bit closer to home for me. But one of the analogies that I've been thinking of with regards to this passage is that of wrapping paper on presents. Right, it gets to Christmas morning, and there's this external covering over the presents. And it might look good, like the life of the wicked. But what happens when you little kids dive into your Christmas presents? Where does that wrapping paper go? For destruction. It goes to the trash. It is fleeting and failing, no matter how good it looks. And that is where life is for those who are not in relationship with God. It is one of fleeting and failing, bound for destruction. They don't have a place in the congregation of the righteous. That is, the people of God. Those who, through their relationship with God, have been restored to rightness with God. It says that the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Throughout the Bible, that language of being known is one of intimacy, of relationship. To be in relationship with God is one of privilege, of joy, of blessing. And it is not a lonely eternity that sometimes we think of when we think of heaven. We have vague, sort of overly spiritualized ideas of what it means to spend eternity with God. To be in relationship with God, to have life in Him, is to be with God and to be with one another. And that is a great blessing and privilege that only comes through what the Word of God has to say to us. As we think about what it means to delight in the law of God and to find life in it, I think that we should have a sense of longing that we would have that life of blessing, and that we would delight in God's word, but yet still we get caught up in the ways of the wicked. We are pulled towards finding life and delight in things which God has said are for our destruction. And as we live in that tension of desiring life, but also knowing our own hearts that are bent towards the way of the wicked, we are reminded in this psalm that there is one truly blessed man. One blessed man who perfectly delighted in the law of the Lord, who lived perfectly in accordance with the law of the Lord, who is the means by which we are restored to relationship with God. This psalm that calls us to delight in the Word is very aware of our need for one who truly delights in the law of the Lord. We can delight in the law of the Lord because the law of the Lord brings us back to our Lord. The content of Scripture is building and directing always towards Jesus Christ, the truly blessed man. He takes our place, taking on the death that we deserve as those who have lived among the wicked, who have turned our backs on God. The reason we can delight in Scripture is because it gives us Jesus. Jesus is our ultimate source of life as He restores us through His own life and giving it up for us and taking it back up in the resurrection on our behalf. We keep coming back to that story of the blessed man, meditating on the truth of the gospel day in and day out, training our hearts through the work of the Spirit to love the good news of the gospel. There are many things in this world that we delight in, good things and bad things. From corn to a good movie, to our family, to all sorts of destructive patterns that tear us away from relationship with God. In the midst of your week ahead, I'd encourage you, as you feel being pulled towards delighting in a variety of things, to go back to the story of the gospel, to go back to the good news that Jesus Christ has lived on your behalf, died on your behalf, and risen on your behalf. To delight in that above all things. To go to His Word. To listen to the ways in which He shows that life can be found in Him and Him alone. And to let God's Word direct all of your delights. That's how we find life in this world. We find it by going to His Word, being reminded of who Jesus is and what He has done for us, and living as He lived through the grace that He gives us. Pray that we would live in that way and find life and blessing that comes through God's Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have spoken, You have come to earth in Your Son, You have redeemed us out of the way of the wicked, that You have brought us into the congregation of the righteous. Pray that we would delight more and more in the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even as we go out this week and live in this world where we are conflicted, where we feel the press of the wicked around us and even in our own hearts, pray that Your Spirit would work through Your Word to give us life and blessing. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Amen. Hear now God's blessing over you from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.